IVM.
Welcome to All Things Policy, a daily podcast supported by Pragati, a flagship media initiative of the Takshashila Institution. We are a bunch of policy nerds based in Bengaluru, and we like to bring fresh perspectives to Indian affairs and an Indian perspective to global affairs. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and join us for today's chat.
Hello and welcome to another episode of All Things Policy. My name is Arjun, and today we're going to be talking about something very interesting. We're going to be talking about online fantasy sports and a recent ban on online gambling by the Karnataka government. Today, I have with me Atish. So he wrote an article about online fantasy sports and the ban on online gambling, which was with respect to the Karnataka government's new amended law. So we want to get into the conversation about what effects this might have on the industry as a whole, and is it the right step, and what challenges regulation of this industry might face in the future. So Atish, I just wanted to ask you, first of all, what is this law exactly, and what is the difference between online fantasy sports and actual gambling or online gambling? So if you could just give us an overview on that, it would be great.
Hi Arjun, thanks for having me. Yes, so the reason why I wrote this article when I did was because the Karnataka government amended its police act to ban all forms of gambling, including online gambling. And there are certain clauses within the law which make it very difficult for online fantasy sports to continue to, you know, work properly as an industry within the state. And to understand that, as you said, we must understand that there is a difference between online fantasy sports and gambling. So online fantasy sports, for those who might not know, it's whenever if you've been watching the IPL, you'll see that we are just inundated with the ads of Dream 11 or Paytm's First Games, My Circle 11. It just keeps going on, where you can make your own virtual teams on these apps by betting some money. Betting is not the right word, actually. By investing some money in it, you can choose players, make a team out of it, and if they perform well in the match, you get to earn money. And it's an industry that used to be something that was like really niche and really small. But now, just as I said, if you're watching the IPL, you'll see that that's all that, you know, that's the ads that we are seeing all the time when we're watching IPL. And it became so big that in 2020, Dream 11 was the title sponsor for the Indian Premier League, right? It was called Dream 11 IPL. So that's how big the industry is beginning to become in India right now. And the difference between these two is simply that there's this test that the Indian judiciary uses to determine whether something qualifies as gambling or not, which is called a game of chance versus game of skill. And in a game of chance, the best way you can understand whether something is a game of chance or a game of skill is if you observe the pattern of rewards accrued by a user over time. So what happens in a game of skill is if you are playing that game over a period of time, the rewards are likely to increase because you learn how to play the game. You develop the skill to play that game. On the other hand, in a game of chance, your rewards will not multiply over time. There will be no correlation between playing it for longer and, you know, earning more money, because there is no element of skill involved. It's entirely chance-based or largely chance-based. So a good example of a chance-based game would be something like a lottery. You know, when you enter a lottery, there is nothing you can do to influence your chances of winning that game. On the other hand, you know, stock market, if you enter the stock market, that's not a game, of course, but the way you invest, where you invest, determines how much money you're likely to make or lose. Right? So your agency and your choice actually determine or have some say in determining whether or not you will be rewarded. Now, what is important to understand is this difference between these two things does not mean that a game of skill has no element of chance involved or a game of chance cannot have any element of skill involved. The idea is which plays the overwhelming majority of a part in determining the outcome. So even in an actual sport like cricket, chance has a role to play. You know, right up front, tosses or pitch conditions, they have a role to play, and a lot of it is entirely chance-based. Yet, you cannot call cricket a game of chance. It's a sport of skill. So the important distinction in this framework of skill and chance is which is the predominant factor. Is it skill or chance? And in online fantasy sports, it's quite obvious that it's a game of skill, in the sense that for anyone to make a team in this and actually make some money, they will have to know a lot about cricket, first of all, especially T20 cricket. They have to understand the metrics of the sport, which players are in form, and most importantly, some nuances of the game. For example, in T20, wickets during a power play are far more valuable than wickets during the death. So, you know, in the death, what is more valuable is dot balls than wickets often. So, you know, what kind of player would you be going for? Right? Someone that takes wickets up front, for example. So stuff like that. You have to have a lot of domain knowledge in order to actually make money off this game. So it's quite clearly a game of skill.
That's really interesting. I mean, the equating online fantasy sports to online gambling is something that is kind of overlooked, I guess, because when you just say that you're making money off an app like Dream 11 or something which involves sports and skills in the domain, it's still perceived as gambling because it's about the money. So there's this whole conceptual difference between the game of skill and the game of chance. And I think the government still hasn't kind of figured out which is which. So the ban is like a blanket ban on everything that involves money. So that's really interesting to know. What I wanted to ask you next is about the whole industry as like a nascent developing one in the country. You mentioned, right? So it was still very developing before, but then now it's grown to a very good extent because of IPL and EPL and what different sporting leagues around the world. So what effect would this kind of ban, if it's enacted across the entire country? Now it's just Karnataka, or maybe in the future a few more states might enact the same ban. So what do you think would be the impact of this as a whole on the industry economically, financially, and would it put like a constraint on it for developing to a better extent? So is this something like detrimental in that way?
Right. So before we go into that, actually, the Karnataka law, I wanted to talk a little bit about that. So the law is strange in a way, right? Because while it was being passed, the chief minister said that the law will not go after or will not prohibit games that are completely skill-based, right? Yet in the law, there is a clause which says, and I quote, the amended law also... So the amended law also puts betting on the skills of others in the category of gambling and states that, and I quote, any act of risking money or otherwise on the unknown result of an event, including on a game of skill, is an offense. So what that means, and the law is a ban on online gambling. So, you know, you would think it does not apply to online fantasy sport, but then it also has this clause which says that it also prohibits any act of risking money on the unknown result of another event, on another person's skill, right? Including a game of skill. So that's a very ambiguous statement, in the sense that you're not really sure now whether or not online fantasy sports come under this or not, because they have failed to make explicit, you know, they have not explicitly stated that it does not apply to online fantasy sports. And this clause seems to suggest that it does apply to online fantasy sports. So the industries, the people running these platforms like Dream 11, MyCircle 11, all of those, they find themselves in a tizzy because they are not really sure whether this law applies to them or not. And that incentivizes over compliance, because if you are in a situation where you are confused whether or not the service you're offering is legal or not, because the law does not explicitly state that, then you are likely to overcomply, because otherwise, and the law has some really harsh measures, right? It extends the prison sentence that was originally the fine has been increased massively. So the punishments for not complying with the law are really high. So if you are if you're a person running one of these platforms and you are just incentivized to, you know, block access to people from Karnataka. And that is what we have seen is happening. So as of October 6th, for example, which is when I wrote the article, Mobile Premier League and Paytm First Games had blocked access to Karnataka users. Dream 11, which is the largest player in the market, had it. But day before yesterday, so that will be 10th of October. On 10th of October, someone filed an FIR against Dream 11, and now they have also blocked access to Karnataka-based users. So it's shutting down. And now coming to your question about other states. Actually, Karnataka is not the first state. In fact, there's been a long history of Indian states going after these games, right since they started becoming popular. Tamil Nadu has tried to ban them, Andhra Pradesh, Assam, Odisha. There's a lot of states that have tried to ban the games. And multiple times, various high courts have ruled that these are games of skill and cannot be classified as gambling. And therefore, certain laws were challenged by these courts. The Supreme Court has upheld the decision by the Rajasthan High Court, which ruled that, you know, these are games of skill and therefore cannot be classified as gambling and cannot just be banned like that. Supreme Court has upheld that. Even then, states are going forward, as Karnataka has most recently, in trying to not explicitly ban them, but bury them under ambiguity. And then, you know, because they can always say that, you know, we are not explicitly banning them. But we know how this is going to play out. As I said, like, they have already banned access to people in Karnataka, even though the law does not explicitly state whether or not online fantasy games are banned or not. So a lot of states are doing that. And yeah, it is likely to have a lot of economic impact. And the irony is, the economic impact was, in fact, identified by the union government's think tank, which is the Niti Aayog. The Niti Aayog in December 2020 released a report about fantasy sports in India, in which they have staggering figures. So the industry has grown massively. So it has grown at a compounded annual growth rate of 212% between 2016 and 2019. And it had 2 million users in June 2016, and it became 90 million users in December 2019. And I'm directly quoting from the draft paper, which we will link in the description of this show, from the document by Niti Aayog. And this is becoming a huge industry. There are likely to be many jobs created from this in the next 2-3 years. It'll get around 10,000 crore in foreign investment, according to the studies that Niti Aayog report cites. And it's also likely to get around 10,000 crore at least in taxes over the next 5 years. So it's a considerably, it's an industry of considerable size, especially one that is, you know, entirely, you know, tech-driven innovators. And when we also think about it from the sense that, you know, over the last few years, one of the driving factors of the dispensation in Delhi has been Digital India, Atmanirbhar Bharat, where, you know, they even have an Atmanirbhar app challenge. Right, where new and new tech innovation, new and new tech solutions are being rewarded, are being looked at as something that India should be becoming a leader at. And yet, we see that within one state government in India, you see, and not just one, right, across so many different state governments in India, you see this disconnect between what the union government's think tank thinks is a very good idea, a very good industry that might grow, but the states are going after them, trying to ban them. And it's likely to have a lot of economic, like, setbacks, as I said, because especially in Karnataka, which is actually one of those states that is in the forefront of tech innovations, new startups in the country, right? And there are many users from Karnataka on these apps who, and there's a lot of money, a lot of transactions being done on it. And now all that is lost. So there will be economic impact, as the document from Niti Aayog itself outlines.
That's really interesting. Before we go on, let's just take a short break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. I mean, the whole fact that this is just another industry which is coming up and there are so many restrictions already being placed upon it is something that should be of concern. But I just wanted to know something else. So when a new industry comes up, there should always be compliance and regulation and how to, you know, make the growth of the industry more sustained. So you talked about the compliance costs with respect to this particular law, especially which was passed by the Karnataka government. And the cost of not complying to it is pretty high. I mean, no one wants to risk it. So would you think that this is going in the direction of over-regulation of the whole industry? Is it just like a beginning wherein other states also continue to do this? And so instead of building like a robust regulatory framework, we're going in the direction of just kind of regulating anything and everything which is possible. So that would also have like an impact on the entire online fantasy sports in India. And what do you think the regulatory framework or like the ideal regulatory framework should be for an industry like this?
Yeah, so, you know, like as much as the Karnataka law that we have been talking about gets it wrong in the sense that it's overarching and, you know, ambiguous, it does identify something crucial, you know, and this is an industry for all its promise. You know, it also has some issues that need to be addressed. You know, there are issues of addiction, you know, as in any other engaging, anything that has money involved or anything else that has engaging content involved in it, it can be addictive. And that's an issue that needs to be addressed. And many of these platforms are trying to address it. There are also other issues of data protection, of fraud. Because, you know, there are many other smaller players in the industry that could be coming up, right? Because it's an industry currently that's very much, it's a very recent industry, especially in India. Because, you know, in India, the culture around, you know, betting on sports or any involvement of money and sports has always been looked at with great suspicion, thanks to the long history of fixing in cricket, especially in the subcontinent. And, you know, it's always been a hush-hush industry. And then, you know, tech innovation comes up and it's promising. It does not look exploitative. But even then, the fact is, it's an industry that's new. So there are these challenges that need to be looked at. So these exist. And there is also challenges that are not exactly from the point of view of the apps themselves, but from, you know, India's own, how the Indian state functions or how India's policymaking functions. Because for this law, and I, in my article, I use this law as a example to draw upon some of the larger themes that we see in India's policymaking in general, right? And those are other challenges that proper regulation of these apps is going to face in India. So there are these challenges in the apps that you have to address, of addiction, of fraud, all of that. But in order to do that, first of all, you need to understand that this is an industry that has promise, right? You have to understand that you need to regulate it to protect users from being exploited by it, but you don't need to protect users from their own agency, right? Because when you're banning something, you go outright and ban something, which is what India's policy response to many innovative tech platforms often is. When you go outright and ban it, what you're actually telling people is, you don't exactly know what you're doing, so we'll decide on your behalf, you're not allowed to do this, right? But a better way to address challenges is to allow this industry to exist and then identify what are the challenges and then solve it. And there have been attempts to do that. So the same Niti Aayog report that I was quoting from before the report came out, they actually held there was a meeting between many of the proprietors of these platforms, of the online fantasy sports platforms. With the Niti Aayog, there was a roundtable, I think there was a conference, they all discussed what various challenges associated with it. There were many principles that they came upon, recommendations to the union government about what are the principles that should drive regulation in this industry. And according to them, it should be self-regulated. There is already a body, that's an industry body that represents online fantasy sport platforms. So they want self-regulation. You can also make an argument for, you know, it not being self-regulated and there being, you know, laws formulated by the union government that apply to these. But you can even begin to have that argument only after these are not banned arbitrarily in some parts of India and not in other parts of India, right? Because states have this power to do this because of the Public Gambling Act of 1867, which states have been using so far to arbitrarily ban or try to ban these games. And therefore, this industry is unable to grow. So in order for it to be regulated properly, first of all, we have to decide whether or not, you know, there has to be some sort of pan-Indian union level legislation or recommendations or rules that need to be formulated so that there is continuity of and consistency of policy responses across Indian states. Because it doesn't make any sense for a proprietor of these platforms to, you know, have an incentive to grow within the country if they can operate in Uttar Pradesh but not in Karnataka, for example, or if they can operate in Bihar but not in Tamil Nadu. Like, why? They would want to operate across the country. It's just much easier, much better that way. So these are the challenges with the regulatory aspect. And as I said, they show in some of the problems consistent with India's broader, you know, policymaking practices, because you look at technology with suspicion. Because one of the very telling things about the Karnataka law was it has two exceptions. One is betting on horse racing and lottery, right? And that just seemed very funny to me because I have no experience, of course, betting in horse racing or betting on any form. But from what I could fathom, betting on horse racing does seem to be a game of skill in the sense that it does involve some strategy, some cognitive ability, and is not chance dependent entirely. Right. And they can see that it's a well-established practice. It's an industry by itself in Bangalore, in Kolkata, many of these colonial cities, it's still an activity that goes on. Right. So they have given it an exception. No one's going to be arrested if they are going to be betting on sport, on horse racing. And yet when same principle of someone spending money, investing money on the outcome of a sport that involves skill, is applied on an online high-tech contest to online fantasy sports, that is suddenly banned. So that just shows how we have often been treating many of these technology solutions in a stepmotherly fashion. You know, like we look at it as suspicion, even though the core principle is the same as horse racing, where you are just betting on the outcome or the skills of the people involved in an actual sport, but one of them is allowed, one of them is banned. And the second one was lottery, which is entirely a game of chance. And partly, I think it is legal because in states like Kerala, for example, lottery is entirely state-run. And I think the Kerala government makes quite a bit of money from having people enter lotteries. It's a source of revenue. But I think in case of Karnataka, one of the things that I think might have driven their law, and I'm speculating, is the fact that there is very little risk of you losing money in a lottery in the sense that a lottery ticket is very, very cheap, right? You're not going to go bankrupt in a lottery. But that is, again, an inconsistent way of looking at policy, because at the end of the day, a lottery is still a game of chance. How much money you put into it does not really matter, because by design, whether something is a game of skill or a game of chance is a function of how the game is designed. It has nothing to do with how much money you're investing in it. So there is a lack of consistency that is being applied. So you will ban something else, which is a game of chance, because people are investing more money in it, but you will not ban something like lottery for being a game of chance because people don't invest a lot of money in it. And that just seems to me to be very inconsistent. And these are the larger regulatory problems, I think, sound specific to the industry, but many more of them specific to just how India looks at regulation, looks at these things, equates gambling, you know, equates any form of investing money in something where there is risk involved as gambling, then taking gambling and looking at it as if it's, you know, substance abuse or something, and then just passing a paternalistic law banning it. It's just very hard. It's like a huge hammer to beat it with. It's not a great tool to formulate policy.
Well, that was very enlightening. Thank you so much, Atish, for that. I mean, there are so many inherent things that we have to change with respect to regulation and how to view all these industry and look at it with a little bit more nuance rather than just black and white saying this is this, this is that, and just putting it into two different buckets and just banning one. So I think I learned a lot today. I mean, there's so much more we can do, especially with growing industries like online fantasy sports, and a lot more that the government can do with respect to how it can foster the growth of these industries and ensure that people who are actually contributing to these industries with respect to, let's say, being a part of it or developing these softwares or and anything else who are investing to create these kind of games should be kind of at least taken into account before they can outright ban the entire concept. So that was a very fun episode. So thank you so much, Atish. Look forward to knowing more about this in the future whenever the government decides to, you know, regulate the online fantasy sports industry and hopefully kind of like not create the divide between the union and the states with a few states banning it and a few states not banning it. So thank you so much for that.
Yeah, thanks. And, you know, before I go, it's really strange in the sense that, you know, the way the Niti Aayog approached it made me very hopeful about the fact that, you know, that there was actual consultation with the industry. There was deliberation. The entire draft that they published for comments, which is still available on their website. It's a very good first look at an industry that needs to be reckoned with. And on the other hand, just various states just randomly pass a law because and in Karnataka, I think people attempted suicide after losing money and some people lost a lot of their money, some people died. And as a response, the government just goes out and bans it. So this disconnect is what makes me like really, I don't know, on one hand, I was hopeful about the Niti Aayog thing, but then when there's this kind of disconnect between two different parts of the larger Indian state, it just seems very strange. So I hope that changes in the future because the way it's being approached by the union government's think tank should be the approach we should be following towards regulating any new innovative industry that comes up. Because oftentimes we might not be able to understand how it properly works because, you know, a lot of technology is like that. A lot of us might not be able to understand what exactly is going on. And there might be risks of addiction and of fraud and data protection, but the response should not be an outright ban. And I think that's just a lesson that should be taken from this on Karnataka law. I hope it gets repealed because I don't see it like it will be legally challenged. And I the precedent is that they will rule in favor of, you know, the online fantasy sport platforms, but one can only speculate and hope. So yeah, hopefully it's a good lesson. Thanks for having me.
Yes, definitely. Thank you, Atish, and see you guys in the next episode. Thanks. Bye-bye.
If you liked our show, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can tune into them on the IVM podcast app, ivmpodcast.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also follow IVM on social media. The handle is @IVMPodcasts on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And hey, if you'd like to dive into Takshashila's research on technology, strategy, and economic affairs, check us out at our Twitter handle @TakshashilaInst or our website takshashila.org.in.
Hey, it's been another great week on the IVM Podcast Network. On All Things Policy, Ananya Desai and Rohan Pai discuss recurrent bans on fireworks during festive seasons in India and discuss possible solutions to tackle India's air pollution problem. On the Habit Coach podcast, Ashton Doctor welcomes Sahil Mehta, an esteemed mountaineer and author of the book Break Free. Sahil shares a transformative experience which became the catalyst for embracing discipline and fulfillment. The episode explores the profound impact of vulnerability on personal growth. Folks, if you like our shows, do spread the word. Tell your friends and don't forget to rate and review them wherever you're listening to them. Follow us on social media. We are IVM Podcasts on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. You'll also find all our shows on YouTube at youtube.com/IVM Podcasts. And finally, we would like to thank our sponsors this week. Omidyar Network India, Abbott, IDFC First Bank and Save Life Foundation. Thank you for making this possible.